From Learfield on the Vermont Sports Network, this is the Cat's Den. Now, here is your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night. It is Tuesday. That means we are inside the Cat's Den right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We go up until 7 o'clock, and then later this evening we'll have Bruins hockey. They'll take on Edmonton. We'll have the coverage for you at 8:30. And over on 960 The Zone tonight, we will have men's quarterfinal hockey action as the USA men's team takes on the Czech Republic and as they look to continue their ascent towards a medal in the 2018 Winter Olympics. And, I've had a lot of fun watching the Olympics. You can always get in 802-655-6672. I think people, maybe not in this area, but the more people I talk to, they're more down on the Winter Olympics. They don't like the events in the winter as much as they do in the summer. Summer gives us more things that we're more familiar with, at least, you know, as the, quote, regular people. Basketball, softball, baseball was in it for a while. Then you talk about the track and field events that we've all been a part of, whether it was in gym class or competed in those things. Up here, I think it trends more towards the winter because of skiing and snowboarding. But skating is something we don't all seem to know a lot about. Gymnastics is something that people don't know as much about either in the summer, but they seem to gravitate towards it more. But I've had a lot of fun watching the Olympics, and there has been a heavy influence of UVM in the Olympics as well, from Amanda Pelkey to Ryan Gunderson on the women's and men's hockey teams, respectively. You look at Lowell Bailey, the biathlete. You look at Lauren St. Germain in skiing. You've got a skier from South Africa. The only South African athlete is a UVM product. So a lot of cool anecdotes when it comes to the Winter Olympics from Catamount Country. As for what we have coming up on the show today, it is a jam-packed show. You talk about a guest list, we have it today. Ken Pomeroy will join us in 5 minutes. He is the founder of the Ken Pom Rankings. We'll talk about UVM hoops. Amy Huckthausen, commissioner of the America East, will stop by at 6:25. Lots of stuff to talk with her. And Dustin Parker, the sports information director for UVM men's hoops, he'll stop by at about 6:40. So first, we're going to know a lot about how UVM feels about that loss on Sunday to Hartford. We're going to know a lot about it 5 minutes into the game tomorrow against Binghamton. The UVM men's hoop team loses against Hartford, snaps a 33-game win streak in the conference, 22 games at home. They are taking on Binghamton tomorrow. We'll have the coverage for you at 6:30. Tip-off is 7 o'clock with Sam Hyman on the call from Patrick Jim. I always say this about basketball. The first 5 minutes of the game and the first 5 minutes of the second half, they dictate how games are going to go. Which team comes out with energy? Which team comes out aggressive? Which team comes out physical? Which team comes out flying around? That tells you how the game is going to be played. It may not always determine who's going to win, but it will tell you which team is being the aggressor, which team is more, which team is playing with more tenacity. And for the last 2 weeks, that has not been UVM. You don't get down 17 against Albany in the first half because you came out more aggressive. That just doesn't happen. You don't get down by 13 against UMass Lowell because you came out more aggressive. You don't kind of sleepwalk through the first half against New Hampshire and have that happen. You don't get down 9-0 to Hartford on Sunday at home because you were more aggressive. That's just not how it goes. UVM has been, I said it yesterday, they flirted with this loss for a while, and you should be grateful that it happened now than 2 weeks from now in the America East Tournament, which will all but surely be played here in Patrick Gym. Tomorrow, in the first 5 minutes, I don't need UVM to be up 11-1 after the first 5 minutes. That's not what it's about. But there's three, I was always told this. The best coaches I've ever had told me this. There's three kinds of teams in this world, three kinds of people in this world. There's people that get hit and do nothing. There's people that get hit and fight back. And there's people that hit first. And for the last 2 weeks, UVM has been the team that has gotten hit and fought back. It's nice to see that resolve. It's nice to see it when the Cats can, yeah, we can get down 10 and not be nervous. We can get down 15 and come back. And we've seen that a lot on the NBA level. We've seen it from the Celtics. They seem to be down constantly. And for a lot of the season, they were able to come back and win. But you can only play that card so many times. You can only drink from that well so many times. Eventually, you've got to be able to put a full 40 minutes together. And before you can put a full 40 together, you've got to put a great first half together. And UVM just hasn't done that. I mean, I want to see a game tomorrow where UVM comes out and out-rebounds an inferior Binghamton team by 12. I want to see where they force 18 turnovers and commit 7. I want to see where they shoot 25 foul shots and Binghamton shoots 6. Like, I want to see that kind of dominant effort. And again, if those things happen, the final score will likely be lopsided. But I'm not even about the final score on this one. I just want to see those toughness stats favor UVM. And those are free throws, rebounds, turnovers, points in the paint. Those things need to favor UVM because UVM needs to come out and set the tone and reestablish that tone. The loss can be a good thing if it remotivates them and refocuses the Catamounts. Because you know what? I'm not afraid to say that college kids can get complacent. When you're that good and you're that much of a veteran team and your goals are about March, not about February, yeah, you can look ahead. And we like to think that UVM is perfect and they weren't going to do that. But you know what? It is only human nature. But the loss can be a good thing as long as tomorrow they come out and reestablish that dominance in the first 5 minutes of the game. Set the tone early. Binghamton is not as good as UVM. Binghamton's at the bottom of this league. Come out and treat them like they're at the bottom of this league. Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. All right, you definitely probably are familiar with this guy. Ken Pomeroy is the founder of the Ken Pom Rankings. You've all heard of the AP Top 25. You've all heard of the RPI. These are all metrics and rankings used to help determine NCAA tournament fields and how good a team is. But you've also likely started to hear about the Ken Pom Rankings. And really, within the last few years or so, they've become really, really prevalent. Well, Ken Pomeroy is the guy who started them, and the website is kenpom.com. He's here to talk about UVM and a couple other interesting anecdotes with us. So Ken Pomeroy is on the phone line now. Ken, thanks for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing great, Brady. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. And first and foremost, we all hear about the AP Top 25. We all hear about the RPI when it comes time for NCAA tournament rankings. But your website, the Ken Pom Rankings, have really taken off within the last decade or so. Kind of tell us exactly what your website does.
Well, you know, it's a little bit different from certainly from the RPI, but even from like other rating systems out there in that it attempts to kind of tell you not just how good a team is, but what they do well and don't do well. And, the foundation for that is looking at a team's offensive and defensive efficiency. So basically, how many points they score per possession, how many points they allow per possession. That allows you to, kind of better assess how effective a team's offense and defense is instead of looking at, like, the points per game and team scores, which I think is kind of the traditional method. That can be influenced by how fast a team plays, how many possessions they play in a game. This is a little better approach in trying to compare, fast-paced teams and slow-paced teams, and you're looking at it on a per-possession basis.
Now, you've been called the Bill James of basketball. Bill James is the guy who was the basis of Moneyball in baseball. How did you get started on this path?
Well, it was reading the work of guys like Bill James. There's obviously a much more mature movement in baseball. They kind of jumped on the advanced stats bandwagon, much earlier than other sports have. And so that's really where I got started, maybe like 15 years ago or so, reading the works of people that are coming along in baseball and writing about baseball from an analytic standpoint. That really kind of spoke to me and got me interested in this. And, I kind of looked around for other people that were doing this in college basketball, and nobody was doing it. So I thought, I'll give it a shot. I didn't really ever expect to make a living out of it, but I thought it'd be kind of fun. I could develop maybe a small audience and, started writing about it. And from there, kind of the website grew and things have kind of gradually taken off from there.
Now you talk about basketball being slow to adopt the analytics movement. Well, at the NBA level, teams are starting to adopt it. And one of those teams is the Houston Rockets. And you actually spent some time working with Daryl Morey, their general manager. What was that experience like? And what did you share with him? What did you learn from him?
Yeah, that was, very early on in all of this. They were kind of interested in my, work on the college game. Obviously, a huge part of building a franchise is being successful in the draft. So, this was like 2006, I think. He was interested in my work, and I remember, he flew me down there, and, I watched the game. And at the end of the game, I was, they called me back in. We had a meeting, like, in, one of their conference rooms in the arena, and at the table was, me, and it was Daryl, and then it was also a gentleman by the name of Sam Hinkie and a gentleman by the name of Dennis Lindsay. So all three of those guys are now at least have been NBA GM. So looking back on it, it was a pretty cool experience.
Now, what about when people say, I think I had someone tell me Jay Billis of ESPN was saying that the tournament selection committee should look at your rankings more so than the RPI. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Obviously, it's very flattering that, you know, my work is mentioned on that level. I think it's a little, you know, we should use a little bit of caution, you know, in terms of just throwing metrics like myself, the ones I have, you know, into the mix, simply because I'm, you know, mine are designed to be predictive and really kind of see the future and use scoring margin in terms of assessing how good a team is. And I think when you're talking about, you know, methods to select teams into a tournament, you really want to focus more on outcomes and wins and losses. And obviously, considering schedule strength, that's the real weakness in the RPI. It's kind of it doesn't assess schedule strength very well. But yeah, I mean, I love the fact people talk about it, my ratings in those terms, but we do need to kind of think a little bit about, you know, what it means to use a method based on scoring margin to select tournament teams.
Ken Pomeroy, he's the head of the Ken Pom Rankings. KenPom.com is the website, and he's here with us on Champlain Valley Game Night inside the Cat's Den on 101.3 ESPN. So everybody here is so pumped about UVM season. Without, you know, putting the loss on Sunday to Hartford aside, they're 12-1 in the league. They made the tournament a year ago. People here thinking this is could be a season where UVM gets a chance to get a win come March if they're fortunate enough to get to the tournament. How often do you get to watch, actually, any of these mid-majors?
Yeah, it's tough to, you know, the reason I thought to say it was because it's tough to follow anyone team close enough to really, like, watch them and feel like you have a great handle on them. I mean, I have seen, you know, UVM play a bit, you know, even starting from the, you know, season opener. I caught quite a bit of the Kentucky game, and I actually caught a lot of the Hartford game on Sunday just because, you know, the significance of their winning streak, and I was kind of curious about how they would play. But yeah, I mean, I tend to, you know, I would say prefer watching like the better teams, but I also keep track of the mid-majors, and I'm not afraid to tune into America East games on occasion.
How much do you think that loss hurts them? People are worried that any loss hurts them come March because people here are getting pumped up. Hey, maybe they could get a 12 seed. Some metrics even had them as an 11 seed, and now people, you know, might worry, oh, one loss, now they're destined for a 14 again. Do you think that one loss, does it matter, but how much does it matter?
Yeah, it's so hard to say. You know, the committee's so weird in that I would get the impression they don't pay a lot of attention to kind of the auto bids, you know, when you get down to the 12, 13 season beyond. I know they have a separate kind of subcommittee that evaluates the lower quadrant seeds, but it always seems like pretty random what they end up doing with those teams. But, I mean, I would guess it probably hurts a bit. I mean, it's a home loss to a team that I don't know where Hartford is exactly in the RPI, but in my system, you know, they're not inside the top 200. So it's kind of a bad loss. I would say, you know, obviously a bad loss. Whether it drops them, you know, one seed line or two, who knows? It's hard to imagine, really, if they win the conference tournament that they fall below a 13, though.
You know, off basketball, you have such an interesting background. You used to work as a meteorologist for the government?
Yeah, used to be a forecaster for the National Weather Service. I definitely have a passion for predicting things, Brady. And so there's really probably no bigger challenge than trying to predict the weather. It's obviously like a much more profound problem than predicting basketball games because the weather, of course, affects everybody, whether they care about it or not. You know, it's ultimately going to impact their lives. So that was where I really got my start, kind of contemplating predictions and the limitations that we have really in kind of predicting the future.
Now, you've got to have some good stories, right? Tornado chasing in Oklahoma, blizzard going to in the Tug Hill Plateau. Like, you got to have something, right?
Yeah, I was never a big tornado chaser, but, you know, certainly I, you know, did most of my work in Montana and Wyoming, and probably folks in Vermont are maybe not familiar with the weather out in that part of the country, but it's pretty wild. You know, it can go from, you know, minus 20 or minus 30 in the winter to, like, you know, plus 50 in the matter of a couple of days. So the weather's pretty wild. It was always a great challenge to try to forecast out there.
And am I reading also right that you're a professor at the University of Utah, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I was. I taught a class in meteorology for 3 or 4 years, and I mean, that was a lot of fun, too. You know, it's like it's always a challenge to kind of explain a very technical subject to people who don't have that background. And so, I was definitely teaching a night class to a bunch of kids that were mostly like art majors and things like that. So it was always kind of a challenge to to explain weather in terms of they would understand.
So the age-old question then, because every day I feel like it tells us we're going to get snow here. And one site says 1 inch, one side says 5 inches. What is the definitive best website to go to when I want an actual forecast that's going to be close, as close to right as you can get?
Yeah, you want to go to weather.gov. That is the site for the National Weather Service. And the difference between them and everybody else, I guess, except maybe your local TV station, is that they are local. So you have forecasters there that know your area and have experience with that. And so that's where you want to go if you need a really accurate forecast.
Ken Pomeroy, the head of the Ken Pom Rankings, kenpom.com, with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night. You know, you're based out in Utah, so I got to ask you this. I played high school basketball against Jimmer Fredette when he was at BYU. You know, I played against him. He went on to BYU, was player of the year. Did you ever get to see Jimmer play in person in college, and what was that like if you did?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I mean, I got to see him as a freshman when people didn't really know about him. Obviously, coming out of Glens Falls, wasn't really a household name, although I think people thought he'd be a decent player for BYU, and then really bursting onto the scene as a sophomore with some big scoring games. And after that, obviously, as a junior and a senior, there were some amazing games. I remember, you know, going to BYU and seeing Jimmer and BYU play Kawhi Leonard in San Diego.
Yeah.
And what was really kind of an epic game when both players played outstanding. So people, if you mentioned Utah, people probably don't think it's a great basketball area, but you know, between BYU and Utah and Utah State, you have some solid programs here, and you certainly have like great teams coming in to play them all the time. So it's a pretty cool place to watch some hoops.
Ken, we appreciate the time, we appreciate the perspective, and we'll talk to you again down the road as we continue to follow UVM season, hopefully into another March Madness here.
All right. Sounds great, Brady. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. There you go, Ken Pomeroy, kenpom.com. Again, his rankings have become really the Bible for college basketball fans or for people who are really, really into trying to predict things. When you get towards March Madness and a lot of people are going to his site to see how teams stack up against each other and see what teams do what well. And a lot of people pick their brackets based off the Ken Pom site. And Sam Hyman, the voice of UVM, him and I were talking. I told him, I said, hey, Sam, I got Ken Pom on the show today. And he's like, dude, I'm on that on that site all the time. And he's looking at it. And, you know, he'll even mention the Ken Pom rankings on the UVM website, or on the UVM broadcast, rather. So Catamounts take on Binghamton tomorrow. Thank you to Ken Pomeroy. If you missed any of that, you can find it online at 1013ESPN.com. All right, when we come back, the Cat's Den continues on. We'll sit down with Amy Huckthausen, the commissioner of the America East Conference. What did she think of what UVM has accomplished to this point? And what does she think about what could be coming next in Catamount Country? Amy Huckthausen, commissioner of the America East, with us next, Champlain Valley Game Night. The Cat's Den on a Tuesday, 101.3 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to Champlain Valley Game Night on a Tuesday right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We just got off the phone with Ken Pomeroy, the founder and runner of the Ken Pom Rankings, talking about UVM basketball. Let's continue the conversation about all things Catamounts right now on the phone line with America East Commissioner, our friend Amy Huckthausen. Amy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Brady. How are you doing?
Good. I appreciate you joining us. And let's start with this. We've been talking a lot over the last 2 days about UVM basketball's unfortunate loss to Hartford on Sunday. When you look at the breadth of what UVM has done over the last 2 years plus, what comes to your mind?
Oh, well, it's certainly very impressive. I mean, I think it's very clear that they're one of the top programs in our league from a historical perspective over the last 10 to 15 years. And quite honestly, one of the best mid-major programs in the country, given just their regular and consistent performance. With winning, of course, everyone looks, you know, first to the number of wins a program has year in and year out. But I think it's how they go about getting those wins in terms of challenging themselves with a tough non-conference schedule every single year. That cannot be overlooked in terms of how hard it is to get some of those wins in the non-conference schedule. But then just the grind of a conference season, it doesn't matter how good or not good a team might be, the rivalries and all the other contextual things that go into a conference season, I think it's a pretty amazing performance, and they're still in really good spot. I know folks are probably disappointed about the loss, but they're still having a pretty darn good year and are in good position to get that number one seed.
You know, one of the things that has I don't want to say surprised me, but I would say impressed me about this season as a whole on the men's side is just the depth of the league seems to be really, really improving. You know, for the last couple of years, it was UVM, Albany, Stony Brook. You knew those three were there, but this year, UMBC's in the top three, Hartford's in the top three. Some good turnover and a lot of good depth, huh?
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch. I hope the fans have enjoyed it, in that there's not a game, I don't think, anymore on the schedule where, you know, you might be able to hit the snooze button a little bit, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
And it's great to see some of the programs that in the last five or so years have been historically in the bottom third, now in the top third. You just mentioned two of them, in UMBC and Hartford. I mean, what turnarounds those two programs have had. So the fact that we are, you know, no longer just a league that's three deep, but maybe five or six deep this year, I think speaks to just the good coaching that our schools, coaching decisions our schools have made, recruiting better players, and just continuing to build upon, I think, what's here, and, you know, carrying the tailwind, honestly, of some of the success of Vermont and Albany and Stony Brook over the last few years. I think that all, you know, lifts the rest of the league, and I'm glad to see it taking shape this year.
I'm going to put you in a tough spot as the commissioner here, but I'm going to ask the question anyways. What's better for you? You look at it and say, hey, there's University of Vermont. That's a great program that is doing unspeakable things in this league, and that's great because it projects well nationally. Or is it good for you to say, hey, they're great, but we had another team in the league just beat them. That shows how great our league is as a whole.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong answer with that one. You know, Brady, it's great to have a team be as successful as Vermont this year to get that national recognition, being talked about as a 12 or 13 seed in the tournament if they win the league. But, you know, I think it adds depth and, you know, substantiates really Vermont's position if they go on and win the league, when they do have an upset this year. Mm-hmm. I know that's not a popular, but to show that the rest of our league on any given night can beat even our best teams, and that hasn't been the case in the last few years. So I look at both of those things as being incredibly positive, that we do have the potential that our teams 1 through 9 could top, you know, teams 1 and 2 on any given Wednesday or Saturday night. But then also have the strength at the top. I think all of that buoys how strong and how far your best teams can go.
Amy Huckdowsen, she's the commissioner of the America East Conference. She's here with us now in Champlain Valley Game Night inside the Cat's Den on 101.3 ESPN. You know, we're going to have, Dustin Parker, the SID of the men's basketball program, on in just a couple of minutes. We're going to ask him about his busy life schedule. You, as the commissioner, explain to me kind of what your weeks consist of, because I'm anticipating a whole lot of frequent flyer miles.
You know, it has been busy. The last couple of years, I haven't been able to get to as many basketball games, to be honest, because I've been enrolled in a graduate program that's kept me home and off the road a little bit. So that's where things like the ESPN3 initiative is fantastic, because I can, be studying at home, for example, while also keeping an eye on, you know, all of our games going on, men's and women's, on during the weeknight and on the weekends. So I certainly still watch as much, if not more, basketball, to be quite honest, by not traveling than when I do hit the road. So I enjoy going to games. I'm looking forward to being able to get in person to our women's basketball tournament and some men's postseason games here coming up. But I've been able to enjoy and kind of be a fan in that way, in terms of being home and being able to watch multiple games at one time.
Now, you mentioned ESPN3, and look, I've watched a lot of games outside of just UVM on ESPN3 this year. What exactly has having the ability to have all the league games and a lot of the non-league games web-streamed, what has that meant to the league overall?
Oh, I think it's really added value to the league, to our schools, to our teams. I think it's helped our coaches in the recruiting world. We continue to trend as a population and consumers to watching all of our, whether it's just regular TV shows or movies, through over the top or on mobile devices. And so it just makes sense and is really a fantastic opportunity for us to have all of our basketball games there and know that our home for America East basketball is ESPN3. I think that's really powerful to our fans who are going to find us anywhere, but then also to try to grow new fans, because we're embedded into the ESPN ecosystem. And, you know, any sort of college basketball fan that's scrolling through the list of games on a given night now might and has been able to stop and check out what's going on in the America East as our teams get more national attention and so forth. I think that only has helped what we've been able to do, and I hear from our coaches that it's helped, like I said before, in recruiting, and I think those are all the reasons why I'm so proud of our schools for investing the resources and time and energy into building the quality video productions that they have over the last couple of years.
Now, we talked like the day that this got announced. I want to say it was like July of 2016, maybe August, but it was right around the time that the academic year was going to start, and I asked you this question, and I'm going to follow up on it. Has it also enhanced the opportunities for the general student body that's interested in video or journalism or broadcasting? Are teams doing all of these as in-house student broadcasts? Are they doing them all outside sourced, or is it a mix of the two?
That's a great question. It's a mix of the two. Every campus is a little bit different in terms of what academic programs they offer, and then the expertise of the students that they have on campus. So it's great that it's not prescriptive, you know, and that we don't require our schools to all use an outside production partner or only, you know, use students on campus. I think it's been really actually neat to see our schools figure out what system and what process works best for them, and certainly the schools that are using students. I think most of our schools are using students in some way, shape, or form, and I think the experience that they're getting is just so invaluable as they look forward to a career, you know, even if they're not a communications or video or broadcast journalism major, the fact that they can, you know, develop these skills and tools and have them on their resume, I think is going to be really valuable as they go out into the real world. So I think that's been definitely an added benefit of the ESPN3 initiative for our league, is to just now churn out and produce all of these, you know, really skilled behind the scenes video editing production students that might expand their career opportunities.
When I worked in the Albany market, and I worked at UAlbany, one of the big focuses there was how to increase student attendance. And that's one of the big focuses here at Vermont as well. Does the league office ever work with the schools to try to help keep that attendance growing and growing every year? Or do you leave that generally to the schools themselves and in-school promotion type stuff?
We meet with our schools on a regular basis. We meet with the marketing directors, and then certainly just how we can drum up interest and increase the number of fans at all of our games across all of our sports,
yeah,
but honestly, is always something that we spend time on. But it's really learning what's unique at every school and what's going to bring out a student fan at Vermont. It might be different than what brings out a student fan at UMBC. And so having the flexibility and us providing whatever resources we can to help support maybe two different, completely different marketing approaches, I think that's the role that we play as a league. We love it when students are there. I think it's so fun, and I hope everyone else realizes,
yeah,
the value of having a really good, strong student section and how it can positively impact the environment and potentially have an impact on the game, too, because they're just a little bit more raucous and engaged than some other folks, and they you know, have a spirit that I certainly don't have being 20 or so years out of school. So I think it's great. I hope that our schools continue to try and engage the student base because it is so valuable. I think our markets, where our schools are located, I don't know that there's much competition for other entertainment options. So we certainly encourage our schools and want to see as many students there as possible.
Amy, we'll get you out of here on two more questions. But a couple weeks ago, UVM helped christen the new arena at UMBC, and a new arena is something that is in the works here. It's in the early stages, but I'm at least of the belief that it's on its road to happening. How vital is that new arena for UMBC, and what kind of thing can that do for a program like Vermont if and when that happens?
Oh, it was fantastic. That was one of the games that I went to this year, was that UVM at UMBC game to open a new arena. And it blew me away. I mean, it was better than I even expected. To see the facilities that are now available to the student athletes, to the coaches, to the staff, that it just transforms what that athletics program is able to do. And I think the same will happen at UVM once you start to break ground and it comes to life. I think, the ability to draw an energetic fan base, you know, that place was just about full on that Saturday game for the opener because people were so curious about seeing the new facility and what it can bring to the campus. So I love that they were able to open a new arena, and I credit their university for putting that together. And, you know, we've had a number of new arenas open in our league in the last few years, which is quite honestly fairly uncommon for a league at our level. So the fact that, you know, we were able to now check off another school in UMBC and with Vermont, yeah, hopefully right around the corner as being the next new arena, I think it's fantastic. And I think once it gets built and, you know, we're walking in the doors up there in Burlington, I think the fans there will recognize just how special, you know, I think there's definitely a value and a uniqueness about Patrick Gym, but to have the amenities and create this new environment and exciting environment for the student-athletes and the fans to enjoy it, I think is going to be something really special. And I can't wait for that day to come, to be quite honest.
Yeah, we're all excited, too. And look, I've been here for 2 years now. I've been told it's 20 years predating me that people have been excited for it, too. So we're looking forward to it. And Amy, I'll get you out of here on this. Well, I know UVM isn't an America East school in hockey or in skiing. We're all excited here because in those sports and in those disciplines, there's a couple of Olympians out of UVM. And I know there have been America East Olympians in the past as well, and as recent as in Rio, even in the Summer Games. How cool is that for you as the commissioner to say, look, we're churning out professionals that play domestic or abroad, and we're churning out Olympians? Like, how awesome is that for the league as a whole?
Yeah, it's really cool, and I've definitely been watching the Olympians. Yeah, like you said, even though they're not America East sports, they're still graduates or current student-athletes at our institutions, and that just speaks to the broad-based nature of our schools. And so it's not difficult for me to cheer for Vermont Catamount, current and former, whether they wear an America East shirt or not. I think it's really special and just speaks to the great breadth of our universities in terms of the academic programs that they offer, as well as the athletic programs that they offer, in that they're attracting, you know, not just nationally competitive athletes, but world-class athletes, and that, you know, that how can you not be excited about something like that? And so it's been really fun to turn on the TV and watch some of the Vermont Catamounts play in hockey and skiing and everything else that's going on.
Amy Huckdowsen, Commissioner of the America East, with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night. Amy, we appreciate the time, and look, we're hoping that the UVM men's basketball season continues deep enough to get you back to Burlington for another championship game at Patrick Gym.
Well, I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, Amy Huckdowsen. There she goes. Always love talking to her. So insightful. The America East, the partnership with ESPN3, I think has been beneficial. I had somebody say to me, well, Brady, if I can watch all the games, then why am I going to go to them? Isn't that hurting attendance? We'll have to get the attendance figures and see exactly if there is a correlation or anything. I think, if anything, it's just bringing more exposure to the league. I think it's, it's big in recruiting, as she said. I think it's a modern-day way of looking at it and trying to build your program and just getting exposure to your program. I love what she had to say about that, about the impact of new arenas. I love what she had to say about the depth of the league. And hopefully Amy Huckdowsen is coming back to Patrick Gym for another America East Championship. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, we'll talk with Dustin Parker. You talk about a team that's great. How about that support staff that works with that team that's also great? He'll join us next, Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN.
And now
it's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to Champlain Valley Game Night right here on a Tuesday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. As is customary on Tuesdays, we are inside the Cat's Den breaking down all things UVM athletics. We spent a lot of today on the UVM men's basketball program and their upset loss to Hartford on Sunday. But overall, the Cat's still an incredible program, an incredible story with incredible opportunity in front of them. And while we focus a lot on the people at the forefront of the program that make the program great, we also need to recognize all of the great support staff behind the scenes that make that program and others at UVM great. And let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line now and find ourselves Dustin Parker, who might be the first person on my speed dial when it comes to the UVM men's basketball program. He's the sports information director for the program, and he's with us now. Dustin, how are you?
Good. How are you, Brady?
Well, I appreciate you joining us. Look, different feeling for you on Sunday, having to write a game recap that didn't end with a win, huh?
Yeah, I'm not used to that one. I mean, when you win like 33 straight regular season conference games, it was a bit of a change. It was, as Sam Hyman, the voice of the Catamounts, said to me after the game, like, that was our first conference loss, and it kind of took us back a little bit because I'm not used to that one.
You know, sports information field is a grind. I was in it for a year and a half. There's a reason why I'm not in it anymore because of all the stuff you guys have to deal with. Do you ever sit back and think, man, how fortunate am I to have such success on my side, because I've been in SID when the teams aren't very good and it's a whole lot more challenging.
Oh, I'll be the first to admit that I've been very spoiled in this gig. I mean, I cover five of UVM sports, and when I arrived on campus last fall, I mean, the men's soccer program was taken off, and Brian Wright was on a tear and eventually got drafted by the New England Revolution. I mean, the women's soccer program had pulled off an upset in the America East tournament, and then obviously the magical run that men's hoops had last year and making the NCAA tournament, and then just continuing to roll this year. So I'll be the first to admit that I've been very spoiled since I got on campus.
Now, you mentioned you got here before last season. What's your background? Where did you come from? How did you end up at UVM?
So my road to UVM, I'm a born and raised Vermonter. I mean, I grew up watching UVM basketball and still can remember that 05 game against Syracuse like it was yesterday, and still getting hollered at by my dad for waking up my mom after TJ hit that shot. But born and raised Vermonter. I went to Castleton University. Graduated in 2012 with a degree in sports administration. I had kind of done anything in the department. I had volunteered with their sports information staff and really got to know their athletic director. And then after graduation, my first job out of college was at Dartmouth College.
Yeah.
And I kind of worked in financial aid, where I was working a little bit with athletics, but not really directly in the athletic field. And I just had one of those days where I was at a crossroads and was like, I don't know if this is for me, you know, the 8-to-4 job, sitting in a cubicle. And I had emailed the deputy athletic director down there, who I worked with a little bit. And I was like, is there anything available? I mean, I don't care what it is, if it's part-time, full-time, volunteer. The next day, he comes back to me and he says, we have a volunteer position in our athletic communications. They need someone to run graphics for their online basketball streams. I'm like, perfect. Kind of got my foot in the door that way, volunteering, still working full-time, and just absolutely loved it. And then year goes by, a SID position opens up at the University of Maine at Farmington. It's a small Division III school in western Maine. So I picked up everything, moved to Maine for 2 years, and I was in charge of 20 sports, and I was also the academic compliance officer.
Wow.
So it was a lot. And then I really wasn't even looking to move, but I just happened to see this job, and I was like, you got to put your foot in the door,
yeah,
or put your name in. I mean, the chance to go back home, cover the team you grew up with, like, at least take a shot. And as soon as I got on campus for an interview, like, it was kind of hit me, like, but, like, this is your thing. And then as soon as, like, they told me I'd be covering men's basketball, I was like, this is a dream come true. Like, there's nothing stopping me now.
Dustin Parker is the SID for the men's basketball program and four other programs in Catamount Country. He's here with us now in the Cat's Den on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Look, as I said, you're number one on my speed dial. Any interview that we get on with Catamount basketball players or coaches goes through one of two people. It goes through you, and it goes through Alistair Ingram, and that goes for all sports at UVM. So on a given day, how many media requests are you guys getting? Because it's not just me knocking on your door. It's all the TV stations, newspapers, national media, etc.
It's almost like every Monday, yeah. I can almost spend an entire day just playing middleman of coordinating interviews with Coach Becker or any of the players.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. How much is this athletic department grown from when you were a fan growing up to now working in it?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just been brought to whole new heights. I mean, it was one that when Tom Brennan was here and the 04-05 magical run, like, that was kind of almost getting us on the map a little bit. And then to continue 15 years of just 21 seasons and just unbelievable success. I mean, it's just incredible what's been done by Coach Lonergan after Brennan, and then for Coach Becker to continue the excellence.
You know, you talk about working with five sports. There's got to be some crossover there for you, which makes for some challenging weekends. Like, you talk about men and women's soccer making late runs playing into October. Well, that's when the men's basketball season starts, too. So have you had that crossover where, hey, you're in one spot on Saturday with one team and one spot on Sunday with another?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of happening right now with women's lacrosse season and skiing going on at the same time as men's basketball. But yeah, you run into it in the fall with, I mean, the men's soccer program hosting a semifinal game, and then obviously women's soccer making their first ever America East Championship appearance, and then basketball starting with the preseason games, and then beginning of the regular season. So yes, there's definitely definitely some busy weekends.
I'm very, very acutely aware of all the unique opportunities that this job has given me. What are some of the things that you've gotten to experience that you sit back and you're like, damn, did I really just get to do that?
You know, Brady, there are days when I'm like, this is not work.
Yeah,
like,
right.
This is fun. You know, and I love my game day office. Whether it's going to the NCAA tournament, going to Rupp Arena and playing John Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats, or going to Hinkle Fieldhouse in Butler, or even just sitting courtside here at Patrick Gym, and it still gives me chills every home game where the Catamount faithful rise to their feet for the starting lineups. It sounds corny, but it just gives me chills every single time.
Dustin Parker is here with us on Champlain Valley Game Night. He's the Sports Information Director for UVM Men's Hoop, but also for other teams around campus as well. You know, we always, whenever I have a player on or whenever I have Sam, the broadcaster, on, I always ask him for some dirt on the team and on teammates. From your observation, which guy's got the most outgoing personality on the men's basketball team?
I'm going to have to say Drew Urquhart. Like, Drew and I kind of have, like, the same personality, same sense of humor. So him and I are, like, always going back and forth. I mean, I love all of the guys. Like, I get along great with them, can joke around with them. But I would say Drew and I are the ones that kind of have the same sense of humor and can give the jabs back and forth.
If any of the guys were to get into politics, who would be the best politician on the UVM men's hoop team?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to say Trey Bell Haynes.
Very diplomatic, very democratic, Trey Bell Haynes is.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Trey. He can keep his composure, and, you know, I feel like he'd be a good politician.
Who's the loudest on the team bus after a win?
Before this year, I would have to say Anthony Lamb.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Ernie. I'm going to go with Ernie on that one. He's probably going to give me a little feedback on that one, but I'm going to say Ernie.
Have you been following Ernie's Theater Thoughts Twitter account? Do you go to him for movie reviews?
I actually don't.
Okay.
he does. Like, I'm a comedy guy. Like, I love my comedy movies, and I've seen some reviews, but not a whole lot of comedy reviews. So I'm like, I'm going to do my own thing.
Dustin, we'll get you out of here on this one. Which player eats the most at the team meals?
I'm going to say Rob Petty.
Really? That was what That was the one I thought was going to be Anthony Lamb.
I'm going to go with Ra on that one.
Dustin Parker, hey, we appreciate the time, man. Look, enjoy this slight rest, this rare night off, because you're back at it tomorrow when the Cats take on Binghamton. We'll have the coverage for you at 6:30. Dustin, we appreciate the time, perspective, and here's hoping that your schedule stays busy through the rest of the year.
All right, thanks for having me, Brady.
Appreciate it, Dustin Parker. There he goes here, and wow, pretty jam-packed day here of interviews on Champlain Valley Game Night. Inside the Cats Den. If you missed any of the show, you can find the interviews, as always, on 1013ESPN.com. Ken Pomeroy of the Ken Pom Rankings, Amy Huckthausen, America East Commissioner, and Dustin Parker of the UVM Athletic Department, the Sports Information Director. Man, I tell you what, that is not an easy life, being a Sports Information Director. Not only do you talk about all the games crossing over to each other, all the traffic, all the late nights, all the dealing with me, and, oh, how about the national media? And how about the rest of the local media and the newspaper guys? And it's unbelievably tenuous being a sports information director, but good for Dustin that he has that passion, because I didn't. I did it for a year and a half, and I enjoyed it to a point, but it was hard for me to be around all the games and not be playing in them. I just exited college, and maybe now I'd feel different, but now I found this passion, which I love way more than that one. So to each his own, and glad that Dustin's happy with what he's doing. All right, that'll do it for us. As we said, all those interviews available online at 1013ESPN.com. Thank you to Tom Caron for joining us in the huddle as well. The Yankees have made a trade. They've acquired Brandon Drury from the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's a big deal, actually. We'll get into what it means tomorrow on the huddle. You can find us there at 4 p.m. as always, 1013 ESPN.